God, you pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. Why don't we sing that more often? Lord, you pursue me with power and glory, unstoppable love that never ends. Oh my goodness! Unstoppable love that never ends. Unstoppable. Unstoppable. You know what that means? No matter what we do, we cannot stop God from loving us. No matter what we do. He may not like what we do, but he'll always love us. Praise God. Unstop. God, you pursue me with power. Ah. Father God, I thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your presence this morning. Lord, thank you for pursuing us. God, you pursue us with power and glory. Your love is unstoppable and it never ends. Lord, we praise you. We praise you, Lord God. Father, I ask you, Lord, to bless our pastor where he's at right now. Bless him and his family abundantly, Lord God, and bring them back home refreshed, Lord. Father, I ask, Lord God, that you speak to our hearts. And for those that have been faithful on a holiday weekend to come out hungry to hear from you, Lord, I pray, God, in Jesus' mighty name, that you touch us, you speak to us, and whatever you say and whatever you do inside of our hearts here today, Lord God, it would impact every person that we come in contact with for the rest of our lives. Lord, that we would bring glory and honor to you, my God. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. We're going to talk about the disconnected connector. The disconnected connector. Turn to John chapter 8. The disconnected connector. A connector is someone, of course, or something, it's self-explanatory, that connects one thing to another. Is that going? Disconnected connector. It connects one thing to another, or it connects one person to another. Just go live. Okay. John chapter 8. Starting with the first verse. And everyone went to his house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Wait a minute. Let me preface this first. Jesus had not yet made himself public. Put it on the... Jesus has not yet made himself public. So, it was the Feast of Tabernacles. Wait a minute. Father God... Lord, I ask, Lord God, that you bring peace to my mind. I come against confusion right now in the name of Jesus. Help me to keep my mind on this message, Father, and not on anything else. Lord, you have a message to speak to our hearts, Lord God, and I come against Satan and every lying spirit and everything that should come against this coming forth properly. Lord, let my mind be clear. My heart and spirit cries hunger after you, Father, in Jesus' name. So Jesus had not yet made himself completely and totally known to the public as the Messiah. And it's the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course there's going to be many people that come out. So that's where we're at right now. He has kind of made himself known to the people that he's more than just a carpenter's son. So in chapter 8, verse 1, it starts off by saying, and everyone went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses, in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This, they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear, because Jesus was a man of wisdom. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and he said to them, "He who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up, he saw no one but the woman. He said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of the world." Now the main text is going to be verse 11. She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "No, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." This past week, well, this story is talking about the woman who was caught in adultery. Jesus had just made himself somewhat public as being the Messiah during this time where there was all these people. So they were testing him to see, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep the law? This woman is caught in the act of adultery. This woman is caught in doing something that you know is wrong. She broke the law. Now, what are you going to do about it? In other words, and the Bible says that they were testing him. In other words, they're kind of in a way saying, you say that you're the Messiah, or you say you're this big man or this great man. What are you going to do now that this woman broke the law? How are you going to treat this? What wisdom? Because we don't know this for a fact, but it's said that he probably wrote down on the sand, and I know you heard this story, he probably wrote down on the sand different sins. Disobedience, different sins, different things in people's lives. And when he picked up his head, someone would leave and another one would leave. And remember, in the King James, it says, he who was without sin cast the first stone. Well, no one could cast a stone. If that would happen right here today, this morning, right here, no one could cast a stone. Because every single one of us, there's not one of us without sin. So how can we cast a stone at anyone? So what we're going to talk about this morning, we'll go back to this, but what we're going to talk about this morning is a disconnected connector. This past week in church, on Sunday morning, they were doing something in children's church, and I had brought my grandson, so I went in to see and make sure my youngest one, Gideon, was okay, and he wasn't crying because I left him. With his brothers. So I went in there, and there were all these Nigerian women dressed up in their Nigerian garb. Beautiful, absolutely stunningly beautiful. So I was intrigued. They were actually talking about BGMC and taking up collections or raising some money to send pastors in Nigeria to Bible college to provide the material, the curriculum for him to become a pastor in Bible college. And so because it was Nigeria, they had Nigerian women there dressed up, and they were teaching of the cultures and the dance. They did the dance with the little drum, and I was loving every minute of it. It was way too short for me. Because I was just soaking, I loved it. I think they should do it on a Sunday morning, and I just absolutely love it. Well, anyway, that kind of pricked my spirit a little bit. And in preparing, and really not preparing, but actually talking to the Lord about a message for this morning, that kind of was in the back of my mind. But then I did something. I put something on Facebook. I said, I don't have it in front of me because he has my phone, but I basically said, what's happened to days past when we all got together as a family? And on Sundays, there was like 20 people in the house. And birthdays were like a holiday, and holidays were like a presidential inauguration. It was always a lot. There were always a lot of people. Family came together, friends from all over. Everyone gathered to mommy's house on a Sunday. And it was always, there were always a lot of people. And I said, what has happened to that? And then I had made mention that, you know, I'm Italian. And Italian people are not quiet. We're not soft-spoken people. But then there's other people that are not used to that. And I'm coming to know that. But being Italian, we're used to everybody talks at the same time, and everybody knows what everybody's saying. You could be in four conversations at the same time and have no problem because we're gifted. That's the way it is. We're gifted. It's the only way I can explain it, because I don't know anyone else who could do that. But when you have other cultures come together, they may think we're crazy. You're so loud. I've even been told in my preaching, why do you yell? You're so loud. And I have tried for so many years now to be soft-spoken. I have tried to mellow out. I have tried to dumb down myself for so many years that I have found myself that I'm not myself. And I can remember a number of years ago praying to God. See, first of all, I want to tell you, I never wanted to be a preacher. I fought. I fought from 1982 to 1992. From 1984 to 1992. Because I was not going to preach. I didn't want to do this. Now I know this is what God brought me into this world for. And I'm very thankful to God. Because it still blows my mind. But I fought that, and I didn't want to be a preacher at all. And then I became a preacher. And there's something inside that bubbles up that gets you so excited. It's the power and the anointing. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know how to be quiet. I try to be quiet, but I don't know how to be quiet. It just happens. I lost my voice for a few weeks. And the therapist said, don't shout. She said, use a microphone. I said, I do use a microphone. But inside, it's just there. Anyway, so I have found myself crying out to God a number of years ago saying, I don't want to be a preacher. I don't want, and I took all the words that were spoken to me. You're loud. You're so loud. And I kept thinking about that and thinking about that. And some things that were brought to my attention by people that I love. And people that I know love me were bringing things to my attention as a person. And I brought it to the Lord, and I said, God, help me. And I started repeating to him the things that people said about me to me. And God said this to me, Jean Ann, I didn't ask you to change. He said, I'm going to use you with the personality that you have. Now, it doesn't mean there's no room for change, because every day we need to. That didn't mean, he wasn't telling me I was perfect, by no means. By no means. But God gave us the personality that we have for a reason. And God wants to use every single one of us, including that baby. No matter how old you are, God, his intention is to use every single one of us. So do we have to be like someone else? Absolutely not. We have to be the person that God created us to be. The personality that we have is the one that God gave us. Now I know that there are some things in our lives, if we haven't been set free through the blood of Jesus, if we haven't asked the Lord to forgive us, if our hearts have not been healed by Him, then we may develop personalities that are abrasive. That's not what God created. If our hearts, if we're still holding on to things in our hearts, and there's bitterness and there's unforgiveness, then we will have become a person of an abrasive attitude. That's not what God intended for us. But if Jesus, if we have accepted Him as our Lord and Savior and asked Him to come into our hearts, change me, forgive me of everything I've done in the past, come into my life and be my Lord as well as my Savior. And Lord, heal me of those hurts. Heal my heart. Take away those thoughts in my mind, the remembrance of the things that were said, that were done, that hurt me, that scarred me. At that point, and that's through salvation, that's through the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, that's through the peace of the Holy Spirit. When we are alone with our Heavenly Father and we come to Him and we open up and we surrender, as we sang this morning. I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed this worship this morning. I didn't feel any performance. It was worship. And that woman, that my sister here, I don't know where she is. Oh, there she is. Man, you have a voice. I wish I can get close to the notes that you can hit. Anyway, not to belittle the piano player, my brother Sam. He was good. Where's my brother Sam? He was good. I'm not putting him down. Anyway, my what I'm trying to say is, if you have been alone with the Lord and you have gotten yourself into a place where you have surrendered all to Him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect or I'm going to be. That's never going to happen. We will never be perfect. But I'm saying, if you have put yourself in a place, in a prayer closet, I don't care where it is, behind the wheel of your car, in your kitchen, on the floor, in your bedroom, wherever it may be, in your office, wherever, if you've been alone with the Lord and He's cleansed you, then what He wants to do is He wants to bring out of us the person that He created. Now, nationalities are very important. That's why I so loved when I saw the Nigerian people and they were telling what they eat and how they, the different things that they do in Nigeria to kind of let the children see what it's like there. I was soaking it up. I never went back to church. I was only supposed to go in there to check on my grandson and then go back to the sanctuary. I never did because I was enjoying it so much. But the difference, the thing of it is, when God created different nationalities, there's beauty in every single one. Now listen, I want you to follow me. There is beauty in every single nationality. Never should anyone make us feel ashamed or belittled because of who we are. This is all preliminaries to get to the message. Hold on. I was born of Italian descent. I was raised in an Italian home, and everyone is loud. And that's what I knew. We knew we loved each other. We didn't have to be touchy-feely. We didn't have to hug each other. We didn't have to kiss all the time. We just knew that we loved each other, and we were tight. We would be there for each other. If you needed me, I'd be there. So then, now I become an adult, and I'm told I'm loud. And someone wants to change me because I don't live up to their standards. Let me just tell you this. We are never going to live up to anyone else's standards. And I'll tell you another thing. The person that has standards for you or for me has a judgmental spirit. The woman was caught in adultery. She committed a sin. A sin is a crime. She committed something very awful. What did Jesus do? He forgave her. And he said, go and sin no more. He didn't read her the riot act. He didn't tell her what she should and she should not do and how she should be. He told her, go. He said, woman, where are your accusers? And they weren't there. There are none. And he said, neither do I. He said, go and sin no more. So now, what does this have to do with a disconnected connector? When I posted that on Facebook, when I posted this on Facebook, I could not believe the responses that I was getting. And I had a bit of a problem. I have some time. Anybody know what vertigo is? All right. Well, you know how bad it is, where your stomach turns and it's so bad. Things, you're off kilter and everything's spinning, and it's a horrible, horrible feeling. I have not laid on my back in years, because if I lay on my back, everything will spin. So I either lay on the right side or the left side. I would love to just lay on my back, but it's impossible, unless the Lord heals me. Well, I woke up yesterday, and I jerked my head. And when I jerked my head, it started, and I was so very sick all day. I just cried out to God. I'm not a medicine person, and I looked and looked in my room for the medicine that I had from a few years back, and the expiration was next month, so I said, I'm going to take it because I need help, because I know that it could stay like this for 3 days. So my stomach was turning. I just was not feeling well. Everything was spinning. It was hard for me to walk without holding, and it was just a terrible, terrible day. So I just could lay in bed. That's all I could do. And as I laid in bed, I was crying out to God because I wasn't exactly 100% put together for this message this morning. I wanted to make sure I was 100% put together. But all I kept thinking about was that post on Facebook. And the Lord began to reveal something to me. We're living in a very hurting society. A very hurting society. People are hurting. There's a lot of things going on. People are running amok with all kinds of things. I don't even need to name them because you know what's on the news. Why and how did it get that way? Let's start right here. The foundation of our nation was the church. The foundation of our nation. Well, our foundation is hurting. Before we get to anything spiritual, and this is what I believe the Holy Spirit was revealing to me while I was laying there in the bed. Before we get to the spiritual aspect, we as a people are hurting. The thing that I had posted was the time we don't spend as a family anymore. How many can relate to that? Okay. You remember on Sunday mornings was always after church, go to mommy's house. You remember always having a lot of people over, a lot of food, a lot of laughter, some arguing. All that and more. My sister, I'm right with you. But yet, we loved every minute of it. That made us who we are. And we were together. And loneliness, when you are isolated and you are off the grid, creates loneliness. I realized as I was reading some of those, it didn't stop, it just kept going and going. People making comments, reading the posts, that there's a lot of people experiencing the same thing and feeling the same way. Now, what does that have to do with our message? We're going to talk about the disconnected connector. We as Christians, the body of Christ, we are all connectors. For 3 years, I served as the Northwest Section Women's Connector. It used to be called Women's Rep. They changed it to Connectors. Because my job as a connector was to connect the churches. Connect the women in the churches, one with another. But our job as Christians is the exact same thing. We are connectors. If you have two pipes and you have something that connects the two pipes, but that connector is broken, you can't connect it properly and it will cause a leak. Making sense? We are called to be connectors. But unfortunately, in our society, we have become disconnected connectors. We are connectors. Connectors are like our family when we were growing up, loyalty. We cared for one another. Loyalty now is out the window. Caring for one another is in, really, honestly, in words only. How did that happen? Our phones. What's it called? iPhone. iPad. And iMac. Do you think there was a reason it all begins with an I? I, self-absorbed, all about me, self-gratification, self-helps, anything that you want is online. You can be happy online. You need help to fix a car, get it online. We need recipes to cook, get it online. I don't need anybody. I've got my iPhone. Or my, if that's charging, I've got my iPad. Everything has become about I. We don't know how to connect. We've become disconnected. I go to Missouri to see my grandchildren. I've got two teenage granddaughters. We're all on the couch. One's on the love seat, one's on the recliner, one's on the couch. I came halfway across the country to see you. Anna, who are you talking to? Oh, nobody. Then I see. I don't know what the fish lips are all about. And I don't know. Peace out, brother. I don't know. But anyway, this is what I see. So I have to get in the game. I'm 5 feet, if that, away, and I'm texting. I love you, Anna. Nina's on the other side. How you doing, Nina? If I can't text, I'm not going to hear anything. We're becoming disconnected. It's becoming a society that feels absolutely awkward to sit down and look eyeball to eyeball. We're becoming disconnected. But we are called to be connectors. In what way are we called to be connectors? Not only in our family or within our church body, our church family, but even in the world. We are to connect people to Jesus. Now, Jesus, he gave his life. We sang about it all this morning. He gave his life. He was a giver. He served. He washed the disciples' feet. He was a servant. He cared. He met the needs. Someone had a need and he met it. He was a giver, a server, servant, and he cared. If everything is about I, how can I be a giver, a servant? How can I be one that cares? The world says me, myself, and I. But the Christian should be you, him, her. If we are in need of self-gratification, something is wrong. This is not a negative message. This is it will be a challenge, but it's going to be a good challenge. God, help me. Help me to let the love of Jesus shine through me. I don't want to be a disconnected connector. I want to be a connector. I want to be one that can speak to someone about Jesus. I don't even have to go up to them and speak to them, but that they see something in me, because my life will be about you and him and her, not about me, myself, and I. A church will never grow, and this is where the good part comes. A church will never grow without connectors. If we're disconnected connectors, that means we've been called to be connectors, yet we're disconnected. How do we become connected? Well, I remember when we first came to know the Lord, it was in a church in Nutley, New Jersey. And after service, someone was always over our house, or we were out to the diner together, or we were at someone else's house, but there was always fellowship. Always fellowship. Then we moved to Livingston, New Jersey. We became a member of the church there, and we lived in the house right next door to the church. And there was always people in our home. Every single service, before service, after service, sometimes till the wee hours of the morning, there were always people in our home. Always. We were connecting. But now, we moved up to Northwest Jersey and we're off the beaten path and everyone's too busy to visit. So here we are, alone. And after 4th of July, I thought about it and I thought about the changes in the family, and that's why I made that little post there, never ever expecting the responses that people were saying. There are more people than not that are experiencing the exact same thing, and they live right next door to each other. Because we've become disconnected connectors. But Jesus was a connector. Jesus connected us with him and with one another. Because he healed relationships. We're called to be like Jesus. It should not be about me, myself, and I. you, him, and her should be first. If we're too busy for our own family, in all honesty, we're too busy. There has to be something that we have to cut out. And I'm going to tell you why I know you can. Because if one of those people in your family dropped dead right now, no matter what you have planned this coming week, you're going to make time to go to their funeral. Is that not true? When that person laying in that coffin maybe died of a heart, broken heart, because they longed for you to care for them before they were in the coffin. Now, what does this have to do with the text we read? Maybe there are those in our family we can't stand. They rub us the wrong way. They may be louder than us. They may be too soft-spoken. They may do things we're not used to. They may be of a whole nother culture, and we're not used to that. You know what I believe that the Lord would say to us? In all honesty, so what? You know why I say the Lord would say that? I believe he would. Is because what did he say to the woman caught in adultery? He looked right past it. He forgave her. Go and sin no more. Woman, where are your accusers? There aren't any. Well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. No matter who rubs us the wrong way, why does it rub us the wrong way? Because it's all about us. Why are we offended? We're offendable. Is that a word? If not, I made it up. Are dead people offendable? Could you offend a dead person? No. You cannot hurt a dead person. You can't hurt their feelings. We need to die to Christ. And we need to become a new person. It's not all about me and my feelings and how I feel. It's about you, Lord. And you've called me to be a connector. So how do I connect with this one? I'm not black. I just look dark because I had some sun. But I have a black sister here. Does this mean I cannot connect with her? We may come from, I don't even know where you come from, but we may come from different parts of the world. We may eat different. We may have all different likes or whatever. There's got to be a way that I can connect with her because she's now my sister because of the blood of Jesus. When we go to heaven, we're going together and there's not going to be separate sections in heaven. So it doesn't matter who we are. If I'm loud, I could still connect with a soft person. You know what I'm saying? A church will never grow until we become effective connectors. We are right now disconnected connectors. And the reason I say that is because we're still called to be connectors. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Is that not what the Bible says? What does that mean? He's calling us to be a connector. Go ye into all the world. All nationalities. Doesn't mean that we have to get on a plane and go somewhere. In all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. How do we preach the gospel? Is everyone called to be an ordained minister of the gospel and stand behind a pulpit? No, we preach the gospel by baking a cake for someone in need. We preach the gospel by shoveling somebody's driveway. Or fixing a fence. Or dropping a little note in a letter saying, Isaiah 41:10. The Lord holds your right hand. Do fear not, for the Lord is with you. You know, all these, whatever, dropping a little note, sending it in the mail to somebody. This is how we connect. And if someone comes to this church or any church and does not feel like they are welcome, doesn't feel that they are loved, they're going to walk right back out that door and not return. Because people don't come to church, not, I would guarantee 99% of everyone sitting here did not come to church for Jesus initially. You came to church to see what he can do for you, or what this church can do for you, or a church, wherever it was you first came to know the Lord. Think about that. When you first came to know the Lord, what was your situation in your life at that moment of time? Did you come to church because you said, oh, Jesus has all the answers? Now, there are some, but that is probably a tenth. The majority of the people come to church because something's not right in their life, and they say, oh, let me try church. And go to church thinking church is going to save them. Church is going to change them. They will be saved at church. They will be changed at church, but it's through Jesus. How is Jesus seen? If they're turned off when they first get here, they didn't see Jesus. Then they're gone. You can kiss them goodbye. They're gone. This church, and I know this is on Facebook, any church, every church will grow when the love of Jesus is felt, is seen, is demonstrated, and not obligation, but genuine. If we are a connector, we need to connect with people. If you say, that's not my personality, okay, listen to me. God called you to be a connector. We're all called. Go ye into all the world, just some. Just a few of you are called. Go ye, go. A few of you go. No, it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so we're all called to be a connector, to connect people with Jesus. Every one of us. There's something about you that God can use you with the personality that you have. You may not be a preacher like this. You may be soft-spoken. God bless you. Doesn't mean God can't use you. You may, there's different personalities. You may be more shy than outward. Let me just tell you something, that I never talked in front of people. My husband could tell you, I did not talk in front of people. I was so filled with complexes that I did not talk in front of people. I couldn't even say I loved you. We got married. We dated a year and a half. We were married. I still couldn't say I love you until I accept Jesus. But something happened. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It was on a Saturday afternoon in my own apartment, in our apartment. And on Sunday morning when I went to church, I felt like I was going to fly through the ceiling. When I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something happened to me that made me be able, gave me the ability to talk. Before that, I was always in the background, shy, always felt like everybody looked at me the way I looked at myself, and it wasn't very good. But then I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Lord just gave me someone to talk about, and it's him. Gave me a boldness, but it's birthed in love. Because I remember what it felt like to be in my own little box and lonely. Be in a crowded room and feel like I was all alone. Because I didn't like myself, so I thought everybody else didn't like me. I remember that. When Jesus set me free, that stopped. And now I love others. I love other people. I don't care where you came from. You know why God has different nationalities? Because we're like a pot of soup. You get a pot of soup and you put tomatoes in there and you put garlic and you put carrots and potatoes, and the potato takes on the flavor of the carrot, and the carrot takes on the flavor of the tomato, and the tomato, the garlic takes, everything takes the flavor of the garlic. So you see, and it comes together and it's delicious. And that's God's world. There isn't one better than the other. He put us all together to make us a beautiful, delicious pot of soup. We may be carrots, we may be potatoes, we may be an onion. I don't know what you are. But you're soup, huh? A pot of stew, okay. So what I'm trying to say is we don't all have to be a cookie cutter. The same. We're all different for a reason. And God will use our personalities with the personality he gave us. God will use that personality. So, in wrapping this up, what this has to do with the text that we read is that Jesus forgave the woman who did wrong. As a connector, we will not be offended by everyone else if we learn to forgive. Did not the Lord forgive us? He forgave us. If we don't forgive those around us, we'll never be an effective connector because it's still all about I. I will consume myself in my iPhone, in my iPad, in my iPod, all about I. Me, myself, and I. Then we become a disconnected connector because we're not connecting. But God, what did he do? Well, he called us to connect. Here is the challenge. The Lord, in his word, says that they will know us by our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Where is that? It's John. Okay. John 13, verse 35. By this, these are the words of Jesus. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, he's saying. This is how. If you have love one for another, if we're too busy to connect as a family. We're too busy to love one another as a family. Maybe there are things your mother and father did that you're mad at them. You would have done it differently if you were a parent. You know, get over it. Maybe you don't like this aunt or uncle, and that's another thing. If you are shunning those because they don't live up to your standards. If you're shunning people, let's start with our own families, our own flesh and blood. We have come to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb and he changed us. Not everyone in our family is that way, correct? So what do we do? Do we shun them? Do we stay away from them? Is that connecting or is that disconnecting? What is it? Disconnecting. But God didn't call us to disconnect. He called us to connect. They will know. Listen to me. What's it say there? It says, by this, all will know. Who? Does that mean just those who have accepted Jesus? All will know. These are people in the world. All will know that you are my disciples. How? If we have love for one another. If our attitudes are abrasive, it's because it's all about me. If we cannot connect, I want to challenge you to bring back the Sunday dinner. Bring back the fellowship. Here is the challenge. The challenge is, here we are today. I want us to think about someone that we know that we have deliberately stayed away from because they're abrasive or they offended you. They hurt your feelings. I want to ask you a question. Same thing I did before. If that very person died today, would you not make time this week to be at their funeral? Yes, you would. Now, I want to ask you another thing. Were you one time that person? Were we at one time that person? But God forgave us and said, and go and sin no more. So I think we're at a point right now where no matter what it costs, even though we may feel like an idiot, we need to let it go. We need to forgive, and we need to shine and show the love of Jesus because they will never be connected to him. So if they died, are they dying with or without Jesus? Exactly. We don't want them to die without Jesus. I don't want anyone to die without Jesus. That's why we support missions. I may not know the people over in the foreign lands, but I don't want them to die without Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father God, Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord God.